Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Creator, sustainer, God, please hear the prayers of your people. We give you our thanks and praise for another glorious day and all the good gifts that you have given to us this week. Thank you for the grace and mercy you have shown us and the promise of peace that you offer to us. God, we come before you today with many needs on our hearts and minds. Please grant us the strength and energy we need to face the challenges you have given us. Grant us the knowledge that you are with us in our good times and in our trying times. Please hear our silent prayers, God. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers and for giving us this holy community at Brighton First where we can enjoy your blessings as your people. Make us your disciples and help us show your love to the world as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture lesson this morning is from 1 Peter 1. 14 through 22 verses, and chapter 2, 4 and 5. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jane. Will you allow me an extra moment this morning? August is my favorite month. Year in and year out, I live for these times. And in January, when people complain about the weather, I just say, but wait till August. August, for me, is so perfect that a number of years ago, I decided that I would try to not criticize anybody, anything, everybody across the board, no criticism during August. I don't make it, of course, but my complaining is way down during August, and you can help me, please. I ask you to join with me in an extra prayer. I borrowed it from the very Reverend Eric Milner White, a retired Church of England priest. Let us pray. Keep me, O Lord, from the little, the interfering, and the stupid from the infection of irritation and anger over nothings. Deliver me and keep me, O my Lord. Keep me from all promptings to decry the person or work of others, from scorn, sarcasm, petty spite, and whispering behind the back, from dishonest honesty of frankness that's meant to hurt. Deliver me and keep me, O my Lord. Keep me from hasty judgments, biased judgments, cruel judgments, and all the pleasure that I take in them. Keep me from resentment over disapproval or reproof, whether just or unjust. Deliver me and keep me, O my Lord. Keep me from all imposition of my own fads and interests upon my acquaintance, from burdening and boring others with my own anxieties and ailments, from self-justification, self-excusing, and complacency. Deliver me and keep me, O my Lord. Amen. Okay, now if you're a mind to, you can look at your watches and start keeping time. Finish then thy new creation is, of course, a line from Charles Wesley's hymn that we just sang. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be, until we're restored in thee. Normally I begin my messages in my return to a preaching career, that is, in the last 2 weeks, I've begun my messages by singing a line from a familiar hymn as the prayer. But we already prayed, so I'm not going to sing the second verse of Spirit of God Descend on My Heart. It says, I ask no dream, no prophet ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay, no angel visitant, no opening skies, but take the dimness of my soul away. My friends, my soul has been in dimness all week long preparing for the message. I don't know why, I just know that I have experienced it. So I want to take us for a moment in a little lighter vein on a walking tour. Many of you already know that I grew up in Brighton a long time ago when Brighton was Brighton. It still is, but of course it's different. And this past Tuesday evening, I called up an old friend and a new friend of mine, Clark Millar. Back when we were growing up, Clark lived on Madison. We lived on Main Street, two blocks apart, so we were part of the same gang. We played baseball, football, all things that kids do. We roamed and caroused and rode our bikes. We were in scouts together. I called up Clark, and he and Lynn and I met at the railroad tracks Tuesday evening about 6 o'clock. We took a walking tour going east, and the first place that we saw, of course, was the old Pink Palace. You have to have been here for a while to know that reference, but what you see is a catalpa tree, an old catalpa tree that was here when we were kids. And we both remember picking off the seed pods and shelling out the seeds from that catalpa tree. He and Lynn moved away. He moved away right after high school, as did I. He returned after 46 years. They've lived here for about 3 years, and he and Lynn are members of the congregation. They're here this morning, if you don't know them. I moved away right after high school. Madeline, my beloved wife, and I moved back a year ago. And Tuesday night, old friends renewing their friendship had a wonderful time talking about what we used to see and used to know, starting with, of course, that catalpa tree and the Pink Palace. So for your viewing pleasure, I show you Ted's Barbershop on Main Street. It is where it was. The three chairs that are there are the same three chairs that we sat in when we were kids. And the highlight of every haircut was when they put on the hot lather and stropped the razor and trimmed up and over your ears and back down your neck. I wish they did it even today. A little farther east was the Gamble's store. If you were an adult, anything that you need for the house, you could get at the Gamble store. It looks a little different now. But a highlight of our tour was Wampner's Bakery. We remembered the steps, we remembered the big windows, we remembered all of the goods displayed to entice you to stop in and buy. And I remembered the butter chips. They were round, they were flat, they had cinnamon. I've never seen anything like them anywhere. I'd love to have one today. They were delicious. Then there was Birdsong's Feed and Seed. That's where the farmers got their corn for planting, their wheat for sowing. That's where you went if you had birds in your backyard and you wanted to feed them and try to figure out how to keep the squirrels away. And we saw people that night at Birdsong's and other places just walking around and enjoying the restaurants in downtown Brighton. We remembered, and we looked for, and were absolutely certain this is where Huber's Drugstore used to be. They had a soda fountain there with maybe 10 seats, I'm not sure. Clark and Lynn helped me with that later, but it sounds about right. And they had a Huber special. Other people in other places might call it a tin roof, but Mr. Huber made them up and put them in the freezer. They were rock hard, they were good, and they were 7 cents for a small and 15 cents for a large. But, and here's your big but, if you were a kid, as we were, the height of going to Huber's was to get a Graveyard Coke. A Graveyard Coke, for those of you who didn't grow up here, is to take a glass of Coca-Cola and start at the fountain and go down with one squirt of each flavor that they had. The last one, of course, being chocolate, which doesn't really mix too well. So you had a sort of iridescent, murky, semi-opaque, sluggish-tasting Coke. You just had to be here. It was the height of, I don't know, but they were good. Farther east was Chapel's D&C Dime Store. Mrs. Chapel was a second-grade teacher in town. Mr. Chapel ran the dime store, and that's the place where you could get everything, and especially if you were a kid, penny candy. You stand by the counter for as long as you want till you decide what you want to spend your little bit of money on, and you tell the lady, and then without bothering to put on a plastic glove, she'd just reach into the bin of whatever it was and pull out what you wanted and handed it to you. It was an old system, it was a good system, it was an efficient system, and I remember the licorice sticks the best. Farther east was Jarvis's Men's Store. Now, Jane Tomlinson is a member of this congregation. She's here right now. Her father started Jarvis's, and then her brother, Harold, and another brother, Jack, helped sometimes. They ran it when we were kids in town. One of the most important lessons in my life came when, in high school, I decided I wanted to be like my brothers who had gone to the University of Michigan. I wanted to wear stylish clothes like the collegiate people did. And I said to my father, as only self-righteous teenagers can do, why don't we go to Ann Arbor and buy some clothes? My father waited about a half a second, and then he said, my father looked at me and he said, Jarve buys his insurance from us, we buy our clothes from him. My friends, that's a small town. That's what I believe in. That's who I am. Farther east was DeLuca's, another party store, a little darker, but a good soda fountain. And then there was Western Auto up the steps, and that's where Santa brought my first bike from. Rollison's is on the south side. It's been there since 1914, and John has owned and operated it since 1974. It's a small-town hardware. It's one of those hardwares where it's got what you can't find anywhere else. And being a small-town boy, it's my hardware. Haller's on the corner of Grand River and Main Street is where we used to gather after school, during lunch, Cokes and fries. It was the place to be and the place to be seen. In the mid-50s, Brighton pulled hard and built the Fire Hall. That was a really big time in our times here in the 50s. Took a vacant lot and made a fire hall. The men built it themselves. Next to Dad's office was the Rialto Theater, Brighton's first attempt at some kind of culture. By the 60s, it had been taken down, was a vacant lot, and that's Clark, you see, standing there. And then a little farther west on the corner of Heine and Main Street. And by the way, we didn't know it was Heine Street when we grew up here. The streets had names, but nobody used them. You just went to the corner, or you went somewhere. Les Oliver's Stop and Shop, that's where Mom bought all of her groceries, and I remember one time being shocked at the price of what she had spent for groceries as I carried them home. And she said she figured that $5 a bag was about the average. Ah, those were the good old days. Now then, when I came back to Brighton and when I took this tour, only two places of the 15 that I've shown you are the same. Everything else has changed. And if I expressed any surprise over that, you'd probably say, John, after 50 years, don't you realize that things do change? And I'd say, yes, of course they do. Didn't you expect some improvements? Yes, of course I expect improvements. And that's exactly what I want to talk about in the time that we have left. From the earliest of times, God's call to the people, God's call to all who would listen was, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourself therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And friends, as many times as you may have heard those words, what we call the Word of God for the people of God, have you noticed that they're a command, not a suggestion? You shall be holy means that you can be holy. Be holy. You shall be holy. Not you should be holy. Not you might be holy. Not you could try a little harder to be holy. I set before you a goal, be holy, but don't try too hard, it's impossible. That's not what God said. He said, be holy. You shall be holy. A little bit later, a few verses later, God said, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again a command, again shall, again this can be done by you in this lifetime. Now, maybe not yet for you or for me, but keep going is the point of what I'm saying. Are you in love with all of your neighbors? Is there anyone you could put on an enemy list? Keep going. Is your life living up to the standard of being God's holy person, or are there some places where you fall short or you fail or you step aside? Keep going on to perfection. The Apostle Paul picked up on this theme when he wrote to the Corinthian Christians. You know the love chapter that you hear at all of the weddings? He'd been writing about God's gifts that are given to each one of the believers. And then he says, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way, more excellent than any of the gifts that God can give to you. And then he said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, if I prophesy, but have not love, if I give all that I have, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is all that matters. Love of God and love of your neighbor. And he finishes that beautiful passage with the first verse of the 14th chapter, make love your aim. To say God loves you is cliched. But like the Velveteen Rabbit, when you bask in the love of God, when you bathe in God's loving of you, when you believe in God's love, and that means to be living in God's love, you become real, like the rabbit. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "It is God's will that you should be made holy, for God did not make us to be impure, but to live a holy life." To be made holy is to be sanctified. It is to be dedicated. It is to be set aside, to be reserved for God. It is to be God's person. In a sermon that John Wesley preached, The Scriptural Way of Salvation, he argued that the end or the purpose of our Christian faith is salvation, and that the only way to obtain it is through faith in Jesus Christ. It is by faith you are saved. And once he established that salvation is the purpose of Christianity and that faith is the only means to it, he looked carefully at the extent to which you and I can expect to be saved in this life. And he argued that salvation is not something out at a distance. It is a present thing. It is God's blessing in us through the free mercy of God, and we are in possession of it. The present salvation has the goal of being made perfect in love. Being perfect in love is not living with complete knowledge of everything. It's not being made perfect as though we're free from any human error or mistakes. It is not a freedom from the infirmities that many of us bear. And it certainly isn't a freedom from the temptations that we face. We're not talking about some kind of an absolute perfection or performance or behavior. We're referring to a perfection of motive, a perfection of intent within the believer. Perfection means that the Christian has one motive: love for God and love for neighbor. Nothing else. Each year at annual conference, when the people seeking to be ordained are called before the assembly, we each and all are asked a series of questions that John Wesley wrote back in 1766. And every Methodist minister, every minister who's ever been called Methodist, has stood before such an assembly and answered the same questions. They begin with these. Have you faith in Christ? Are you going on to perfection? Do you expect to be perfected in love in this life? Are you groaning after it? My friends, I submit those are good questions for all of us, and I ask them of you today. They are good questions. Let us grow together. Let us groan together. And may God be with you and in you. Be holy, for I am holy. Amen.